This is John Morello, Managing Director of the Private Client Group at SIFMA. It's my pleasure to share the following recording of a fireside chat I hosted between Clara Shai, CEO and founder of Hearsay, and Eric Jepson, Head of Digital Marketing at Morgan Stanley Wealth Management. The chat was held during our recent SIFMA Social Media and Digital Marketing Seminar in San Francisco.
I'd like to just open it up with a question that you have a unique vantage point in the wealth management industry as well as digital trends. What is the biggest opportunity for digital and wealth management in your opinion? Eric, would you care to start?
Sure. I think the biggest opportunity is around advice and providing consistent level of advice to clients who choose to have a delegated investment solution for their finances. I think we're seeing that there are a lot of new robo entrants in the market, both in the U.S. and internationally. I think there's a lot of me too-ness in the market currently, but I think that's going to change, and it's going to change very radically. I think you're going to see that we're really just in the first inning in terms of robo, and that the level of sophistication is going to increase rather markedly, and the solutions that today might be really suitable for people with, say, under $1 million, that's going to change very significantly. And the same advances in that space are going to be made available to financial advisors, and they're going to make them more efficient in how they manage their practices.
Clara? Yeah, I would echo what Eric said and add to it that not just in wealth management, but in every industry, the next 10 years are going to be just really shaken up by AI. Our team got all of you guys a book when you walked in. It's called The Second Machine Age. It's written by a friend of mine, Andy McAfee, who's a professor at MIT. He's done amazing research looking at how AI has replaced jobs in different sectors. Robo is just one instantiation of that. His big takeaway for every single person who lives in America, actually everyone in the world, is the way that we think about our jobs, the way that we educate our kids, needs to dramatically change. And there are certain job categories that are going to go away entirely, right? If you drive for a living, manufacturing, go away. Most jobs, you're going to have to be hybrid, and you're going to have to learn to leverage the robo and leverage the smart reply AI and work with AI and harness it. Just like any new technology wave, if you know, in the Industrial Revolution, if you were making widgets by hand and you didn't learn how to use the machine, then you wouldn't have a job anymore. The same is true for all of us and every advisor in our firm.
That's right. And you can hear that developing a lot more on the AI front as you're seeing that whole topic of what the, you know, potential displacement is going to be going forward. And that, you know, as citizens and as policymakers, you have to start taking that into account as you build out what you look like your society is going to become. With that, let's go to another trend that's going on in wealth management that I'm sure you're all familiar with. And it's actually two trends. One is, as we all know, we have the aging of the financial advisor workforce. The average age continues to go up. And then we also have a next gen of FAs coming in, and also a next gen of investors that are coming into the world. And I think each of these different demographics provides its own opportunity for how technology and social media can be built into it. And with that, I'd like both Clara and Eric to address what you're dealing with technology, both for the aging FAs, the new FAs or the next gen FAs, and also where artificial intelligence may come in with all of that. Eric?
Okay. That's a lot. So in terms of aging advisors and aging clients and the wealth transfer that's going to take place over the next 40 years or so, I think it's something like $30 trillion or something. I think to a certain extent, the problem of running out of financial advisors is going to be mitigated by technologies that will make advisors more productive. Indeed, I think you'll see within the advice space a lot of pressure at firm level, firms like mine, to really drive that change to get ahead of that curve. At the same time, We want to capture the assets that are going to be in motion. And so there will be a lot of investment in solutions that are scalable and that can be delivered at a reasonable cost, where we can still earn a return on our capital. Again, kind of going back to solutions like Robo, but not limited to Robo. I think that in terms of making advisors more efficient, and to your question about artificial intelligence, machine learning, within Morgan Stanley, there's a significant investment currently in this space. We have a position for the next best action, and we essentially mine every client's or every advisor's book of business every night for insights on their entire book of business, and then we bubble up those insights into a checklist for advisors. So the first thing when they come in the morning, they know here are the 10 things that you can do to be most effective today. This used to require a CSA or an FA coming in and going through everything in their book, thinking about what happened the night before, and they would spend hours doing this. Now it's in a list and just a punch list. When you start to merge that into technologies that Clara was describing in her opening remarks, that gives you a very powerful tool to enable advisors to be very efficient. So you take the insights and you have pre-canned campaigns. The campaigns can go out through whatever channel is most appropriate to the user, and the advisor can cut down 4 hours worth of work into 4 minutes.
Yeah, just to add to that, I think I went into those advisor interviews last year with an unfair misconception. I thought that more tenured advisors weren't using digital because they didn't know how and because they were tech phobic. The reality is not. I mean, there's very few, excuse me, who, could I have some water, please? Thanks, Steve. Talking too much. A lot of them, I mean, they all text with their family and with some of their clients, but they're not scared of technology. They just, it's not like they're scared of Facebook. They just didn't see any value in it. Mm-hmm. They're like, I'm making $1 million a year. Like, why do I need to spend 4 hours doing all of your digital marketing programs if you're not going to add value to my business? The revelation for us and for them, and we've started to see a big upswing in usage by tenured advisors, is if you can add value to them, if you can help them make more money, increase retention, help them gather more assets from their existing clients, because they all know their clients have money stashed elsewhere, they want as much of it as possible, they're all in. Like, you don't even have to train them. They're very good at detecting what's an enhancing additive to their business. So that's the older advisors. The younger advisors, I'm really sorry. We were giving them a car and telling them to drive to Boston, and they didn't know how to get there. And so, yeah, they signed up for the digital program, but they were like in Fresno. I mean, they were in Alberta, because they're just driving, right? And so they'll do it because they don't know what else to do, and they're digital natives. And so the way that we've had to, it's not their issue isn't that they're cynical and don't give you the time of day, is that they give you too much time of day, and they're not getting to Boston. So that's the difference, the tale of two cities between older and younger.
Right. And we'll be diving into that much more in the early afternoon session with a panel of financial advisors that we will have up on stage. I know we are running up close to the end of our time, so let's get into Morgan Stanley and all the firms represented in this room have strong brand digital efforts in addition to field digital. How do you bring that together so that the brand is consistent while still encouraging the local authenticity of each advisor on digital?
So Clara actually discussed one of the initiatives that we've undertaken around kind of automating a lot of the content that we produce as a firm and pushing it out to the advisors so they can push it out to their own networks. And so that's definitely kind of core to that strategy of balancing brand, firm-wide brand messaging with the advisor's brand messaging. And that's actually something that we want to elaborate and extend. Morgan Stanley produces tons of great content and thought leadership, and consumers are interested in consuming it. And it's just really a matter of making it available to them in the channels that they want to consume it in. And then, and as Claire articulated earlier, creating that feedback loop so that we can not only respond efficiently to inbound questions or queries that come from that content distribution, but also kind of close the loop so that we can measure it, track it, analyze it, and get better at how we go about it.
Right. Great. And then let's just close up. I know Morgan Stanley and Peirce have worked together now for a number of years. Just tell us some of the things you're accomplishing together and what you've learned from each other.
Eric and his team are incredibly sophisticated, and they, just like the advisors have pushed us, they've pushed us a lot on the data front. And so we had our former head of product is now our CTO, and so we had an opening for head of product. Their influence was one of the factors in our decision to hire the head of enterprise product from Splunk because of his analytics background. And we've reframed everything we do around data and analytics. And he and our compliance partners together, we've figured out that compliance it is a burden in the industry, but in this big data world, it's a really powerful weapon. The fact that we have every text message and every email and every social media interaction, in no other industry would you ever get that. Like if you moved to like any other industry, retail, security, you ask the reps to give you all their text messages, there's no way. Like they'd tell you to go to heck, right? There's no way they'd give you to turn those over. In this industry, it's the expectation, it's the law. And so it's now using that to our advantage is something that we've learned from the team.
Yeah, and I would just say that from my perspective, the thing that's been most, one of the things that's been most valuable about working with Claire and her team is their just relentless focus on the advisor's experience and creating a really solid product. We get consistent glowing feedback from FAs on how great the Hearsay interface is. And it was funny reflecting on maybe your second slide showing all the windows that advisors have to deal with. We get a lot of complaints from FAs about the experience that we deliver, but we also get really good feedback, and a lot of it is around Hearsay.
Thanks for listening. For more information about SIFMA and the events we host, please go to www.sifma.org.